This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Can't tell you what it really is, I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now it's a steel knife in my windpipe. I can't breathe but I still fight. While I can fight, as long as the wrong feels right, it's like I'm in flight. High off of love, drunk from my hate. It's like I'm huffing pain, I love her, the more I suffer, I suffocate. Right before I'm about to drown, she resuscitates me. She fucking hates me.
war zones.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, a.k.a. Vijay Sharma. Use whatever you prefer. Although, to be perfectly honest, in artistic and truther circles, I'm often known as BK because that's kind of the software program I developed to take on the New World Order. And it helps me think a little bit more clearly about issues to have a way of doing that in a society where we love the way we lie. And we tell very, very polite lies to get by, and we know what we're supposed to say, and then we know what we're not supposed to say, and then our conversation shrinks to the point where we're scared to talk about anything but the weather. And again, we have a great city here in Toronto, a great country here in Canada. I've got a fellow Canadian patriot on with me today, Dr. Christopher Holmes, a mystic and a psychologist PhD, former professor at York and former psychologist in the Canadian prison system, who's got some amazing tales to tell, amazing analysis to share. And I've been on his radio show a couple of times, and now here he is, nice enough to grace mine at this bizarrely early hour. Dr. Christopher Holmes, are you on the air?
Yeah, I am, BK. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Now, your information, or your work, rather, can be found at zeropoint.ca, correct?
My website is, www.zeropoint.ca. Yeah.
Zeropoint.ca. Okay, wonderful. Dr. Holmes, please tell us a bit about yourself, just so our listeners know who you are, who they're listening to, before we get right into it.
Okay, I was born in England. My father served there in the Canadian military during the war, and then I've grown up in Ontario and lived here almost my whole life. And I'm a PhD psychologist. I was a professor at York University for 12 years, and then I worked in the correctional system for 12 years. And throughout my life, I've had this interest in the psychology of human consciousness, and I've explored widely the esoteric and occult teachings, as well as modern science. And now I work under the logo of Zero Point Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science. So I have 6 books which I've written, and I maintain my website, and I'm very concerned about the situation of humankind at this time on this planet. Having woken up to what's going on in the world, it's pretty alarming.
Well, we are currently listening to the Bob Marley album Survival from 1979. I've been studying a bit of this stuff, Dr. Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca. That's Holmes out there for you folks who want to do some Googling. And I got to say that he knew a lot of this stuff back in the 1970s. He and Bob Marley and the Wailers, obviously, saying things like, only the fittest of the fittest shall survive, stay alive, could you be loved and be loved? Basically making the point that if we don't act right to each other, somebody's going to kill us, and someone who believes in Darwinian evolution. And that might be the colonial powers that be evil, the Anglo-American establishment, the New World Order, and forces behind globalization for traditional lefties out there. Tell us about your awakening to that, Dr. Holmes, because it sounds to me like you came from a knowledgeable background, and you applied some of the, what you learned to your understanding of the big picture behind the scenes.
Well, I have lived through most of my life in an asleep state in regards to being aware of what's been advanced, the globalist agenda, how that was being advanced. And I really only woke up about 4 or 5 years ago when I saw the movie Loose Change. And I could see immediately that 9/11 was a fraud just from that movie, even though it doesn't leave you with any understanding of what's behind it. And since then, the last 4 years, I've, you know, I'm on the internet a lot, listening to the Truth Networks, and I've read a lot of materials to try to understand more and more the power structure and the global elites, the Illuminati, and who all they are and what their agenda is. So I had a rude awakening about 4 to 5 years ago, and then since then I've been, you know, one settles down and learns more and more about it, this globalist system, and yeah.
Absolutely, and the movie Loose Change, for you folks out there who haven't seen it yet, Loose Change Second Edition was the first internet blockbuster made by Dylan Avery, Jason Burmis, and Corey Rowe in about 3-4 years ago. And they initially started off trying to make a fictional film about 9/11. What if it was an inside job? Then they looked into it, discovered that it probably was, made a really, really hip documentary directed by Dylan Avery, seen by over 100 million people. Even Vanity Fair did articles on them. City TV News here in Toronto did a special on them, and they covered Toronto 9/11 Truth when we were outside there. Much Music / City TV headquarters here in downtown Toronto. They actually came out and talked to us. A guy in a truck drove by, saw us, and was going, watch Loose Change. So it was such an incredible film at about an hour and a half, with amazing pacing, amazing music, and amazing facts, that it blew people's minds. So can you recommend Loose Change, or give us a bit more about your impressions of that film? Because it obviously made a big difference in the lives of millions of people, and it may be worth revisiting at this time, especially for younger people who are not being taught the truth about 9/11 and that it was an inside job.
Well, in many ways, the movie Loose Change is misleading and doesn't really pull things together for the viewer. But at least for me, it was obvious from the movie, when you could see the buildings coming down and the, you know, Building 7, how it collapsed and it hadn't even been hit by any airplane. There's just so many lies perpetrated on 9/11. But the movie doesn't really answer that, because it still leaves the question open as to whether it was done by Muslim terrorists, which I now understand it had nothing to do with Muslims. This was a globalist, the Rockefeller, Rothschild cartels and the Zionists and so on, who perpetrated 9/11. That's how I view it now. So it involved Jewish people more than Arabian people. So not the Loose Change movie doesn't really address that, and it leaves you with many questions about the backgrounds of the terrorists without really explaining ever to you that really they were all just patsies the whole time, and they had been set up to create a cover for what was really done. But anyway, the very fact of seeing Loose Change, and you realize 9/11 was a fraud, and then how that led to the wars in the Middle East, and you realize that our governments are complicit in this. Our governments know this. They know. So in a way, our own government is supporting the terrorist group that committed 9/11. You see, because the people who did 9/11 are the masters of our own government. The government has intentionally deceived the Canadian public, taking us into Afghanistan, which is a completely criminal war based on the desire to control the drug trade and have a military base there and extend the Israeli empire and control the gas lines. Had nothing to do with justice or protecting America. We, as a Western society, have become the terrorists. We are the terrorists. The Muslims aren't the terrorists. We are the terrorists. You know, the United States has murdered 1.5 million people in the Middle East, committed all kinds of atrocities. One realizes more and more, and then you realize the total corruption of the media. You know, the media does nothing to tell people the truth about any major event that's happening within our society. Media is completely corporate-owned, and it's a complete propaganda machine. They have no desire to get at the truth of anything. They cover up the crimes of the elites. They don't expose them. So you realize, you know, you wake up to 9/11, and then you realize the criminality of our own government, the criminality of the media, And then you realize that the UN is another Rockefeller-owned institution, and NATO is corrupted. I mean, NATO is like wanting world domination, and even now they're bringing us to the brink of a possible third world war with their posturing against Iran. You know, it's terrible what's being done. So it's pretty shocking for a person who believes that in truth or justice, a democracy, and you wake up and you realize the whole thing has been a fraud, and how much we've been socially engineered through the past decades.
I agree, Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca. And on Loose Change, you know, my only point about Loose Change is that it's such a well-made film itself. Like, it's just a good documentary. It's the pacing, the music is amazing. And for young people out there, especially with short attention spans, who may not be interested in looking into this area, while they should watch Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement to get the real 200-year history of the crazy, satanic, eugenic elite behind all this, and their plans to use the war on terror to take our rights, and the fake war on global warming and climate change to take our stuff and our property and then possibly kill us all, or at least 80-90% of us. You know, if they get them to that place, Loose Change might be a good movie. But I agree with you. But then again, you know, we all deconstruct pieces of the puzzle in the hopes that that it will help somebody else figure it out. And as a trained psychologist, a former professor of psychology at York and in the prison system where you worked, tell us, how did you come to grips with your own psychological struggle to come to grips with the fact that you had been lied to for your entire life, and there was this new reality not only for you to process but for you to try and deal with fast, because you're an intelligent, charismatic, capable man who can possibly make a difference by sharing ideas about this system to help change it? So what was your awakening like, and how as a psychologist did you come to grips with that and explain it?
Okay. Well, when I woke up, it sent me into really an elevated state of consciousness for several months. It took to come down almost, and I experienced different kind of mystical experiences of being inwardly illuminated, and experiences of rapture and ecstasy, and then fearfulness. And myself and my partner, we did some relatively dangerous things. Like 3 years ago, I wrote up an article explaining 9/11 was a fraud, and I pinned it on the Bilderbergs at that time, the Bilderberg group. And we, on September 11th, 3 years ago, she and I were the only ones up on Parliament Hill, and I was distributing this article about 9/11, and we had our signs up there, and we had expected there to be hundreds or thousands of people there, and there was no one there. And we arrived there, and then that set off a lot, because we got picked up, of course, by the police and security. Not that anyone said or did anything, but we attracted their attention, most certainly. And a lot of very unusual things happened, which I still to this time don't know whether they were kind of delusional or what it was that we both experienced. Like, at one point, I was convinced there was going to be a mini nuclear bomb in Ottawa, and Harper was out west at the time. And I thought that they wanted to get, if they did this mini nuke in Ottawa, they might be able to establish Calgary as the new center for Canada and kind of take away that Canadian history and tradition. And I felt I knew the exact day that this bomb was going to be on. It was the following Thursday. And during that period, it was like I was doing everything to prepare for this nuclear blast, and even dug a bomb shelter in my home. And as it came, I performed magic in certain ways, through ceremony and such. And then the day came, and then nothing happened. And see, most likely, of course, it was all just my delusion, but in a way, I still don't know to this day that somehow, through some of my activity, that this had been postponed or put off, because I'd become very alarmed and was telling other people in the community and my concerns about it and just different things. So I had that was a very unusual experience. I still don't know what happened around that. And on another occasion, after we had been up on Parliament Hill, and I realized that they can watch you through your TVs. They watch people through your TVs and computers and have been doing this for a long time and have very intensive surveillance. So we felt we were being surveilled all the time. And it got so I would even interact with the TV, and I think they can even individually apply, like give you different messages through the TV. But anyway, one morning when I was alone, 2 days after going up on Parliament Hill, I woke up and it was C-SPAN on the TV. And I turned, and it was a lawyer before the Supreme Court or a justice of the peace somewhere. And she was saying to the justice of the peace that the previous night they had felt that someone was at risk and that they had established a security perimeter around this person and that they had apprehended someone who had an unregistered Glock. And I knew when I heard this that they meant me. And they were telling me this through the medium of the TV. And I said to her, oh, thank you, thank you. You didn't fall asleep, because I felt that they were telling me what they had done and they had protected me because they knew I was at risk for what I had done. And they showed me this through the TV. And when I said that to the TV, talking to the TV, the woman, I could see that she was stunned, like she couldn't believe kind of that I understood that they were talking about me and to me. And then she immediately said, oh, well, I guess that settles that issue. And then she went on, well, we had one other issue, which was about copyrights on some of this materials. And then I said to her, no, don't worry about copyrights. You can use anything I write if it can help you. So that was, those are two of the more unusual kinds of experiences that occurred during that period.
I got to tell you, Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca. I believe most of what you're saying. I can't necessarily speak to the causality of one, you know, to the other. Maybe you said something and maybe you interpreted something, or maybe they really did react. I know that I personally, I've found that whenever I've made some noise, you know, about something, like, for example, I'll be unable to get, you know, internet access, and then I start, you know, pull up my camera, and then I start filming the fact that I, you know, I have the signal strength, but I can't access anything, and I make a bit of a stink about it, then it comes back. And I just did a little Googling, because I know that Alex Jones, InfoWars, had reported that Wired Magazine and others reported that Google was using technology to listen to us. And they admitted this, and they said, we're going to hear, say, if you have a dog barking in the background at your house through the microphone on your computer, whether or not to provide you with ads for dog food. And there's another video here on YouTube. It says here, cameras in digital converter boxes, beware. It's been seen by 537,685 people on YouTube, according to that. And this is the blurb accompanying the video. Quote, I could not believe my eyes, states the blurb accompanying the video clip. I have a friend who is kind of a conspiracy theorist. He was trying to convince me that many of the digital TV converter boxes that are coming out have microphones and cameras built into them. Knowing a bit about electronics, I bought one of these devices, opened it up, fully intending on proving him wrong. To my surprise, he was right. This device has both a miniature camera lens and what looks like a microphone. I was so shocked. I took pictures and video. Please send this out to everyone you know who is using one of these devices. So again, there's a YouTube video of a guy taking apart a digital converter box to reveal cameras and microphones meant to spy on us. They're putting cameras up everywhere. They've told us who's spying on us. The Echelon satellite's been spying on us for decades. And now they're introducing more social networking tools like Foursquare, you know, which allows us to see where strangers are around us if we just decide to, you know, follow them and track them and track their movements. And so we're getting used to a surveillance culture. And the fact that you may have stumbled onto some evidence of this phenomena earlier than most shouldn't surprise anyone anymore.
Yep. I'm surprised how few people have considered that they may be watching us through our TVs. That, and the TV I had, it's not a newer TV, and there was no box. It was simply a cable. But it's a simple feat to embed a photoelectric cell into a television screen. I think they've had this technology for a long time. I think they've also put in sound transmitters into light bulbs, and they've been using light bulbs. I think they've developed this technology and been using it on us for many years. Just people have been unaware of it. It's like what's discussed by Brzezinski about how we have the, I forget his term, is techno-something society.
Technotronic age, yeah.
Yeah, technotronic, and how they could have kind of surveillance on everybody. Well, I think they've been doing that a lot more than we've realized. And see, most of the time, they wouldn't care to watch anyone unless you were kind of doing personal things in your house, and they'd do that just for their kicks. But if they focus on someone, then it opens up. They have that access into watching you in your home. I would advise people, you know, when you're not on watching TV, I cover mine.
Well, you know what, and I'm with you on that, you know, Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca, but I got to be honest with you. It's one of those things where, and this is part of our psychology, and I do want to get to psychology. Everybody I know wants to assume the best no matter what. You know, people say, you know, people are waking up, and then they use that to relax. And we have a keep it happy culture here, part of the new age, you know, way we've been taught to look at the world, where no matter what, we're supposed to keep it happy, and we're supposed to dwell upon sad things only briefly. And I can say, I can tell you this from my own experiences. You know, I think 2-3 years ago, there were people that were kind of casually surveilling me, and you can tell because I make eye contact with people. I say hello to them sometimes, and people move differently, and you'll get a guy joining you at the Starbucks on his BlackBerry with no Starbucks in front of him, sitting beside you and a buddy just having a conversation and just typing away furiously. And yet after a while, once they realize that you're pretty much telling everybody the same thing, you're not going around keeping secrets, they don't bother you so much, but they will still keep an eye on you. And furthermore, as the idea of whether or not, you know, we're being surveilled for any specific purpose, some people have posited that the Pentagon is building profiles on all of us to make sure that we are predictable, and that we'll eventually get a little visit from the government saying, why didn't you go and have tea at your local coffee shop on Thursday? Are you feeling okay? Are you feeling depressed? Do you need some meds? And so on. So they're trying to build profiles on us by gathering as much information about us as possible as individuals, and then build profiles on us collectively to see how they can brainwash us better by figuring out, you know, more of what we do. Kind of like Bill Murray's character in Groundhog Day, where he kept coming back and trying to date Andy McDowell. He just kept, you know, coming back to the same day and learned more and more about her every time. And then, you know, managed to charm her and convince her to like him. The New World Order does the same thing with our information. They just learn more and more about us, and then they sell us bigger and bigger lies. So can you speak to the psychology of how we look at this, of, you know, what the New Age movement has done? And you know a bit about theosophy, you know, how this ties back to secret society. So it's a large area. You've written several books on this, but I want to give our listeners here on CKLN Radio a taste of your expertise. So break down the global psych war the New World Order has put us in and how we deal with it.
Wow. Yeah, they're big questions. And I'm not sure where to begin.
Why do people look at this information in less productive ways than they should? You know, 100 years ago, I think if this many people found out about the New World Order, say 10%, you know, of the population, if you want to be, you know, ballpark an estimate, then it'd be over for them. You know, we would rush them. We wouldn't take this. We wouldn't take this being done to us, to our family, to our friends, to our children. You know, we wouldn't be the kind of people that, you know, spend 2 hours looking for the perfect barbecue instead of 2 hours looking into the issue of vaccines on behalf of our children, even though we've heard about the rumors of mercury and thimerosal and so on. So what is it that keeps us from dealing with this information in ways that that can benefit us more than they currently do?
I'm reminded of a quote from J. Edgar Hoover, who said, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists." And I think that's true, that these people have a satanic element and a psychotic and psychopathic nature far beyond what normal people could even imagine. They couldn't imagine anyone being so deviant, so as the elites are. Like most people, it's like when you talk to people about chemtrails. Like here we are being sprayed, all NATO countries, coast to coast across Canada. These psychopaths are spraying people with aluminum, barium, heavy metals, viral matter, carcinogenic matter, desecrated blood particles, fecal matter, and they can experiment and put different things in their chemtrails, and they're doing this to us as a population. Now, most people can't imagine anyone so perverted or deviant that they would do something on that scale. So it's beyond their comprehension. Like, well, doesn't our government love us? Don't they protect us? The government would never let that happen. You see, in a way, it's so unbelievable. It's beyond most people's conception that you are being sprayed. You see, that there's a group of psychopathic world elites with severe psychiatric disorders, and they want to rule the world. They want to reduce the population, and you happen not to be part of who they want in their new world psychiatric disorder. And they're spraying you, and people around you, everyone getting Alzheimer's all the time, and more illnesses. And then as you learn, see, it's so monstrous, and it's so systemic. It's like these people have controlled our political parties for decades. Our political parties have never served us. They serve big business. You know, we want GM labeling on foods. They won't give it because the corporate elite control our government. You know, our government's willing to surrender our sovereignty to become part of the North American Union and to come under this global governance. They're willing to allow the UN and the World Homicidal Organization at the UN, they play along with them to give people poisonous inoculations with aluminum and squalene and mercury. And in the States, there's 500,000 autistic children. That's been done to 500,000 autistic children in the States. 1 out of 75 to 85 children now. It used to be 1 out of 10,000 children. They get so many vaccinations. And then you read the protocols of Zion, and you realize this is one of their instruments of biological terrorism, is vaccinations. You see, we are under attack by terrorists ourselves now. It's not happening over in the Middle East. Those people who are spraying the chemtrails on you, they're perpetrating biological warfare against the Canadian people now, and this is happening. The RCMP, again, at the top levels of the RCMP, they're controlled by the same psychopathic elites. Canadian military, what do? We're being sprayed, the population is being sprayed, the military is supposed to defend the Canadian population, but they're over in Afghanistan guarding poppy fields, working to support the criminal war of the Americans. You see, we've been betrayed.
Chris,
most people just can't believe it. My son's in the military. He's stationed in Afghanistan now. He can't believe that they're spraying us with chemtrails, but they're right in front of our faces.
Look, Dr. Christopher...
See, people can't get their mind around it.
Dr. Christopher Holmes,
They've been deceived for so long in so many ways.
I understand that. Now, here's the thing. You know what? I agree. But there's also been things that have been done on these issues that have to be respected. You know, people can't just, and I make this point, you can't ask, you know, me to be a mommy bird and chew a worm up perfectly for you, and you'll spit it out and starve to death if I don't chew it up perfectly for you. There have been things that have been done that have got us to this point where we know all this, including burning DVDs, things that have been done for thousands of years, like putting up posters, handing out handbills or flyers. You know, Paul Revere in 1776, when the British were coming, did just sit there and go, yeah, I see it on the internet. Oh, yeah, they're coming. Oh, yeah, they just burned down a town a few miles away. Oh, yeah, they'll be here soon to burn down our town and rape our women and take our stuff. You know, like that. You know, we didn't react like that. And so we have more information about this, and yet we're not reacting to it in ways that we're encouraged to by people like myself on my radio shows, by Alex Jones. You know, if his million listeners a day acted like, you know, he recommended and like he suggested and like he brings examples on his show of the way people act, then they could take America back in a month. It wouldn't be a problem. And if the 10,000, 100,000 Canadians or whatever, you know, who are aware of this information, or half a million, who the hell knows, if they actually acted exactly like they've seen other people act, if they follow the advice of people that have, you know, come up with things. For example, on the chemtrail issue, I got ticked off. They were spraying the hell out of Toronto in April or March and April. And so I just put up a bunch of videos of them. And I put up 25 videos on one day, on one afternoon, on March 25th or something like that, March 18th. I put up 25 videos, and I titled it Toronto Chemtrails versus Toronto Patio Season, because I know that after they spray the chemtrails, it often rains around here. And after that, they pretty much stopped for a month, or it certainly wasn't that heavy. And I kept encouraging people to do this. I'm like, yeah, people have cameras. People have, you know, there are things we can do. To me, Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca, just talking about our problems is like a fat person talking about how fat they are all the time to lose weight. It doesn't work. Like, oh, they're killing us with this, they're killing us with that, they're poisonous with this, they're poisonous, they're so big and evil and scary. Oh, my God, they're so crazy. I mean, to me, it's a way of talking yourself off a cliff. You want to hang yourself, you can keep going. But we know that there are effective ways to deal with this that can make individuals feel their own power in a system where we're supposed to be disempowered. So I'd like you, as a psychologist, and as a man, and as someone who knows about this, and as a mystic, and as someone who studied, you know, the way they use secret societies to corrupt people and mind control and dehumanize and compromise them to make them easier to control. You know, they've pulled all this crap. So maybe you can help us untangle it. Instead of going through all the problems, which anybody can find out, you're either going to learn 100 things, you know, a week from the indie media and get used to them, or you're going to learn 10 things a week from the mass media and get used to them. But either way, if all you do is getting used to hearing bad information and feeling powerless, then it won't matter whether you learn 100 or 500 things a week, or you learn everything there is to learn and do nothing, if, you know, they're going to kill us all anyway. So can you speak to the psychology of why people would rather, pee their pants and sit there than change them and then get up and go for a nice brisk walk and get some things done? Hello? Dr. Holmes? Are you there? Dr. Christopher Holmes, you there? All right. This is a good track. I'm going to leave you with this track for a second while I get Dr. Christopher Holmes back on the air. Do enjoy some Bob with some Wake Up and Live. We're back in a sec.
It might be people. Yeah. There's work to be done, so let's do it a little by a little. Right.
more than sand and the seashore, we're more than numbers. All together now.
I don't know what happened there.
Okay, well, no worries. I think what happened is we hit upon the key point, which is not, I mean, anybody can go to Infowars.com, read 100 articles a day about bad things happening, or you could just, you know, everybody knows that bad things are happening. The point is, you know, why don't we wake up and live? Why don't we actually react? How do we get around that? Because I don't like talking my listeners off a cliff. I don't care if everybody hates me. To me, it's stupid to justify inaction. You know, when you know people are capable of more, so maybe you can help them get their psychological weight up. Dr. Christopher Holmes, can you explain what the psychology is of why people would rather, you know, live with comfortable, lazy failure than take action, feel better, and help others feel better too, and how they can get around that?
Well, I was trying to explain how the self is really connected to the heart, but most people are conditioned and dominated by a false consciousness system centered in the mind, in the head. And in a way, people then do not know themselves and they lose heart. They don't have that essential feeling of bliss, which is established in the heart. So then they fall into fear. So a lot of people don't have the courage. Courage actually comes from French. La cour means heart. Courage means having a new heart. And most people lack courage. So they learn about this and they back off. They go into fear. They don't have we have to be upright of heart and be awakened in the heart. And I believe human evolution, I believe, goes through 7 levels. And the elites are controlled by the 3 lower chakras below the heart chakra, which is the 4th. And it's said the 3 lower chakras control the motives of money, sex, and power. And you look, and that is how the elites have created the Luciferian world order, is through, firstly, sexuality. Like, there is such widespread perversion, pedophilia, homosexuality. They've done everything they can do to promote sexuality and perverted sexuality to feed people and keep them in their sexual chakra. And the greed, the money is the first one, the root chakra. These people are unspeakable greedy. Like, they have billions and billions of dollars, while people around the world starve and live in poverty, and they amass more and more wealth. They're like pigs. They're unbelievable pigs, kind of, how they've taken the resources of the human race. 2% of the population owning 50% of the world's wealth. So money, sex, and power. These people, you hear Henry Kissinger, what he cares about is like power. That's his aphrodisiac. See, these people are They're of the old world psychiatric disorder, and they're governed by the lower three chakras, and they've never made it to the level of the heart chakra. That's why they feel no love or compassion for other people or humankind or life or God. You see, they're dead in the hearts, and they lose their souls. And I believe that they're possessed by higher dimensional beings that work through hyperspace. And in a way, they become soulless creatures lived out by this satanic force that kind of, that possesses people in a certain way through the heart. So what I see, what we need on this planet is the next level step in human evolution is the attainment of the heart chakra and the awakening of the heart chakra. And in mystical teachings, self-realization is described as involving the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. That a person needs to discover themselves connected to their heart and learn to live in that inner blissfulness of the heart. So in these troubled times, we need to recover this heart chakra. We need to open our hearts. You see, truth seekers, in a way, like I would say that all of humankind are our brothers and sisters and children. You see, in a way, if you open your heart, you have compassion for other people. But you see, the elites, they're completely psychopathic. All they care about is their own money, sex, and power. They have no compassion for other people. They can mass murder people. They can spread diseases. They can gain control over every aspect of people's lives. They have no empathy or feeling. They're completely deadened within their heart. Your heart is connected to your soul. They lose their souls. So what's important in this time is for people is you want to attain your soul in your life. And that involves awakening of the heart. We need to attain our souls and that doesn't necessarily happen. Like people think that everybody goes to heaven afterwards, after death, but that's not so. We have to attain our souls. So how we live through this crisis is immensely important to the life of the soul. And people lose their souls and fall under the influences of these satanic forces. So I believe that souls after death can pass into the moon, into a realm of servitude in the moon, and that there are different realms that we can pass into. So in a way, this is a very interesting time to be alive, because never before in human history has it been such a global awakening to the forces behind the scenes of our known history. Like, we've been lied to about the causes of all the wars, which have all been manipulated by bankers and investors who wanted to gain the billions and gain power and so on. And we've been intentionally deceived. And all through human history, these people have created illnesses and prevented medicines coming out, prevented new technologies. You know, we could have cars that run on water, but then what would their petroleum business be worth? Not very much. We could have free energy devices and zero-point devices in our homes for producing electrical power, but then what would it mean for all the big power generation? And you see, they prevented all these discoveries coming out. So what I see as most important here is like the idea of the awakening of human consciousness and the awakening of the heart. And then those of us who awaken, we have to, you know, spread that awakening around the world. And I think people need to conceive of what we might attain if we could enlighten the world. Because the way I see things, we have anti-terrorist legislation in every country in the world now, subsequent to 9/11. Well, if we really applied the anti-terrorist legislation and seized the assets of those involved in terrorist activities, we would take back so much money from all these banksters. It would pay off the debts of all the countries on the earth, and you could have abundance throughout the world. You could cut your taxes in a half or a third around the world. You'd pay off all the debts of all the nations if you seized the assets of the real terrorists. You would seize all the Rothschild, Rockefeller, all their assets around the world, and all these corporate elites who have committed all these crimes against the human race. These people would be tried in court.
Absolutely.
You would have a whole new age.
Dr. Holmes,
I see us at a critical point.
Dr. Holmes, I want to ask you a question here, just because our time is running short. We could do all these things.
Our world and have a new age of abundance, wealth, happiness.
Dr. Holmes, I got restoring our environment.
Holmes, hold on and a we're second. At that critical point.
All right.
And
so I want to ask
that on the verge of even facing possibility of World War III.
Dr. Holmes, can you hear me?
If the Israelis and Americans.
Can you come in? Can you hear me? Dr. Holmes, can you hear me? Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes.
I'm trying to interrupt you here. I've been trying to interrupt you here.
Oh, sorry.
I'm trying desperately to interrupt you because we are short on time, and so I got to get to some things. Look, we could apply the anti-terror legislation to the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, but that's just not practical. Now, right now, what is practical right now is, and I want you to answer this question, is for people to find their heart chakra and for people to get, you know, their soul back and make sure it's well preserved and that they took care of it with the life they had, you know, where the body, the husk that their soul was living in. Do you think that passing on this information is a way to do that? Because we can think, and people, I'm telling you, Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca, people make up impossible scenarios just so they don't have to do anything. I've had people say, oh, it'd be great if we had a huge think tank, you know, style meeting room, and we had big glass tables and phones. And I'm like, man, we could meet at a donut shop and talk about what to do to wake up people around us to protect. I mean, it's crazy. And so I'd like to ask you if you see, you know, truthing and sharing information, say helping, you know, save people's children from becoming poisoned and vaccinated and autistic, or helping to get the fluoride out of our water so that, you know, we're not, you know, damaged and pacified and all that sort of thing. You know, do you see this, you know, from your spiritual, psychological, you know, et cetera perspective as a way for people to get their heart chakras and their soul in order?
Yeah, it's important. I think as you wake up and you learn all the deceit and lies that have been perpetrated, firstly, it breaks down the conditioning in your false mind, okay? And as that happened, in a way, it breaks you down and it reduces you. And then you need to become established in your heart. So I think this process is really important, and facing the truth helps people begin to go through this, to realize. See, otherwise people are going to get an awful, rude awakening very quickly sometime. You know, we need to help other people be waking up, and then to give them, you know, it also helps you to form community with other people who are similarly awake. I mean, I see truthers are people who care about their countries, who care about their fellow citizens, who don't want the wars. You know, we believe in truth. We believe in love. That's how I feel in the world. We have to rise up and face this great demon or satanic forces upon us. So we have to be brave to do that, and we need to wake up to the urgency of the situation and be awake in the moment as we go about our lives, bringing our attention back to the immediacy of the moment. Tap yourself over the heart every now and then to kind of awaken the feeling of the heart. Also, people need to breathe more because your soul life is connected to your breath. And you want to go around your life enhancing your breath as much as you can, People who fall into fear and anxiety hold their breath and become contracted. We have to breathe, breathing fully through ourselves to make ourselves strong.
Amazing stuff. Keep going, Dr. Christopher Holmes. We've got about 5 minutes left here, and I want you to break down solutions for people. Everybody knows something's going wrong now. We got hydro prices increasing. We got the this, we got the that, and we're all just kind of getting used to it, and that can be really, really defeatist. So, please continue with any tips out there for our listeners here on CKLN Radio for them to take into the world to use and share.
See, I practice something called self-remembering. And as I go about my day, whenever I remember to do it, I bring my attention back to being more fully awake in here, in this moment now. So you try to enhance your wakefulness through the days. We have to struggle to wake up. There's so many things we can do. You know, we need to bring these issues out at federal political levels, provincial levels, local levels. You know, when I see chemtrails around, I go around my community, I point them out to people on the street, I tell them what they are, and wake people up locally. You know, I think it's most important. Like, this is a revolutionary time, and what are you going to say to your children and grandchildren? What did you do during this time? Did you hide away? You know, and you know, there are those of us who are brave, who want to try to face this monster upon us and be stronger than our fears. So, and I think it's a time where the soul is gained or lost, and those people who go into fear and anxiety, that's dangerous for themselves. I think we can lose our souls, and that there are more and more soulless people in a way who are possessed by these forces.
I totally agree, Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca. I also make the point that men have always defended their tribe whenever it was attacked, because we just physically bigger and stronger, and we're, you know, we were more used to fighting for hundreds of years. And men want power and women want security. And if men handled security, then they'd have power and women would have security. So, you know, I mean, that's one aspect. Not that there aren't, and all the politically correct crap, like, there are amazing women doing this stuff just as individuals and even in some groups. But it is more natural for groups of guys to, you know, finish watching a UFC match and get all amped up and in the mood to fight and then to take on government and corporate corruption. Than it is for, at least the way we've been socialized, than it is for groups of women too. So that's one angle that I'm trying to leverage. Just because we have women, children, and the elderly here, and if the car's stuck in the snowbank, and it's you and you, Christopher, Dr. Christopher Holmes, and your partner, and she's a female and you're a male, well, she's turning the wheel and you're pushing the car to get out of that snowbank. It is what it is. And so, you know, that's one aspect where we can kind of, you know, reconnect with these traditional ideas that have been lost. I want you to shout out Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca in our final minute or two here on air. Where people can find your work, what your work is. Let them know how they can find more of your wisdom.
Well, you can visit my website at ZeroPoint.ca. And I've been on Coast to Coast, and there's audio YouTubes of my Coast to Coast interviews. They're accessible through my site. And I have I published the Heart Doctrine book, and I'm just coming out with another book, which is on the physics and metaphysics of the secret doctrine of H.P. Blavatsky, which is a modern classic of the in the occult tradition. So, and I also have a lot of writing up on my website, and I'm looking for speaking invitations, and I'm going to start going more public with my teaching over the next month, now that I've got two of my books published in trade paperback format. Yeah. And I have my radio show on BBS Radio on Saturdays, 4 to 6 o'clock, and that's accessible through my website or www.bbsradio.com. BK's been a guest on my show at least 4 or 5 times, I think, BK.
Yeah, I've been on. It's been fantastic. You've had Dan Merchant from the Agora Cosmopolitan on. I think you do some amazing work, Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca. Our time, unfortunately, here for Thursday, August 19th, 2010, has come to an end. But I appreciate your time and all your wisdom, and I hope we can do this again.
Yeah, anytime, BK. Thank you very much, and thank you for all your efforts. You're a real warrior out there. You remind me of Krishna on the, or Arjuna on the battlefield, and that's our situation.
Al, I'm only working with two arms right now, but we'll see what happens as we keep getting stronger in this game. Thank you so much, Dr. Christopher Holmes.
Goodbye.
And that was Dr. Christopher Holmes from ZeroPoint.ca. Again, check out his work. There's amazing people doing amazing stuff on these issues. And you know what? Tough guys shouldn't be scared of what nerds look at. And the people who scrap in this game are tough. You know, they got to deal with, you know, what it is and what other people think about it and what other people might think about them and so on. And so we got to get our priorities straight here. We can't turn into corporate cartoons. We got real ish going down. And we can see it in the papers. We can see it in the media. We can see it every day. And we know. So once we know, what do we do about it? That's going to be, you know, what defines us as we go forward. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. And keep an eye out for things. To be conscious is not to skip your environment and then to float off into cyberspace. It's to actually be conscious of where you live, what's happening, who's around you, and what you can do in that situation to improve it, at least in my humble opinion, although I'm not so humble that I won't put it out there. And I recommend if you've got one that you've worked out well, you put it out there too. Peace out, everybody. But while I'm gone, I mean everything.